This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
More and more as the years whiz by, I find myself becoming more and more deaf. It's so frustrating having to keep on saying pardon, and there's a limit to how many times you can say it without sounding irritating. So if you just miss one key word in conversation, you can miss a whole sentence, and then the whole sense of what's being said. But if forced to choose between becoming blind or becoming deaf, I'm sure that most people, myself included, would rather have the gift of sight rather than hearing. But our gospel reading today looks at a further contrast. It asks which is better, to be physically blind or spiritually blind. The story centres around Jesus healing a man who had actually been born blind. It's a lengthy story again this week, but a beautiful one too, and it opens like this. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." On that note, let's listen to Tim Hughes singing "The Light of the World."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. All days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say
Jesus' attention here is drawn to a blind man, most likely begging in the streets. The disciples pity him and begin to ask questions about him. Like all other Jews then, they're of the opinion that God is a just God who punishes the unjust and the wicked right through to the fourth or fifth generation. But they're confused, as this man's ailment occurred right from the moment of his birth. He hadn't had a chance to sin, or had he? So they asked whether his parents must have done something very wrong for this to have happened to him. So not only did this blind man and others like him have to bear the difficulties and hardship of their disability, they lived at a time when people saw them or their parents as sinners, punished by God. The blind man may even have heard the disciples' condemning words as they asked their question, but let's hope he heard Jesus' affirming words too. For Jesus rejected their reasoning and pointed out instead that they were about to see this man's deliverance. So many people, even today, face people's cruel taunts and judgments, deepening their sense of shame. Those people standing around Jesus and the blind man were about to see the light of the world being switched on in the darkness of this blind man's world. I'm reading on from verse 6. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and came home seeing. We hear that story in the next song of the man born blind, sung here by Bob Hurd.
Once I was blind, but now I see. This man called Jesus anointed me. Truth sought me out, and the truth made me free. Light in the darkness and sweet liberty. Not in an instant, but through pain, did I find freedom and cast off my chains. Did I break silence and boldly proclaim, one sent by God is calling my name. The Lord is my shepherd, leading me by flowing waters in meadows of green. Good shepherds lay down their lives for their sheep, so did the Lord for you.
Jesus spat on the ground and made a paste out of the mud with his spittle. I tell you what, there'd be some complaints if that happened in our pharmacies today. The process sounds unhygienic, to say the least. But in ancient times, it was thought that the saliva of important people or royalty had healing properties. So perhaps Jesus was just demonstrating his willingness to comply with the ways of healing that people understood and accepted. The blind man was then sent by Jesus to wash the mud off his eyes in the pool of Siloam. Now this, interestingly, is a place which was only recently unearthed in Jerusalem in 2004. The discovery of this ancient site was a watershed moment in the field of biblical archaeology, and like other archaeological finds, affirms the historical accuracy of the texts. And so for the first time in his life, this man was able to see after washing in this pool. What a glorious moment for him. His transformation, brought about by his joy and amazement, was such that the people who knew him hardly recognized him.
Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of power. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail the essence, Son of God. Hail the clouds of sin, Satan's blessing. Drive the dark of doubt away. Drive it away.
And in my life I've put none before thee.
Yeah.
Since I was a youngster I came to know that you was the only way to go.
So I had to grow up and come to an understanding, and I'm down with the king, so now I'm the man. Did you tell me who you're down with? See, and all I know is that I'm down with G.O.D. And I'm a G.O.D.
Yeah, you know me.
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 But
That wonderful song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, was sung by Lauryn Hill and the Sister Act cast. I'm reading on from verse 8. The man's neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who'd been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. So now we come down to earth, for the law of the keeping the Sabbath holy had been violated. Horror of horrors. The Sabbath was seen as a sacred day on which no one should do any work at all. So when the method of this cure became known to the elders, some of them naturally concluded that Jesus was, without a doubt, someone with huge influence and a massive following, but who was also a sinner and a false leader who would lead many people astray. They were absolutely blind to this amazing miracle, spiritually blind to God at work in his world. So did they feel keenly their responsibility to defend God's laws, or was it fear that caused them to be so dismissive? Or could it have been a tinge of jealousy on their part that Jesus had such a God-given talent for healing the sick and for working miracles, gifts that they themselves did not possess? If only we had faith to look on others with Christ's eyes and not with any trace of judgment or criticism in our hearts. It is said that the eyes mirror the soul, but do they not also mirror the Christ who lives within us? Let's listen to a song called "Let Me See With Your Eyes."
Help me see with your eyes. Show me how to care. Help me love with your heart when it seems I've got none to share. And enter into my speaking. Let your loveliness flow from the center of my being. Let your love grow. Understand their pain, then I won't fear the hurricane, I will only feel the rain. Come enter into my thinking, let your loveliness flow from the center of my being, let your love grow. From the center of my being, let your love grow.
All this reminds me of the film Amadeus, a film perhaps written more from rumour than fact, where a hard-working and skillful court composer, Antonio Salieri, is humiliated over and again by the effortless genius and the incredible talent of his rival Mozart. Salieri, a pious man, has been conscientious most of his life in his studies. He's achieved much recognition in the higher echelons of society, just like the religious elders of Jesus' day. And yet, God gives his favour to a man he considers a foul sinner. And the film does indeed portray Mozart as foul-mouthed and infantile, a musician who doesn't take his music seriously. But his talent is undeniable, and Salieri's work seems mediocre in comparison. You can see how jealousy and a sense of unfairness creeps into his soul. But here the analogy ends, for Jesus, unlike Mozart, was without sin. How easily sin can creep in to rob us of our peace and our own God-given gifts. Lighten our darkness is the next prayer.
Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy, defend us from all the perils and dangers of this night. Through Jesus Christ.
And so we read on from verse 17, an investigation. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Only one hymn can follow this section of the reading, a song written by John Newton, famous the world over, Amazing Grace.
Amen. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now the
A fine set of parents we have here, quick to disown their son, lest they should be cast out of the synagogue and be ostracized by an entire village. He is of age, ask him, they say, almost washing their hands of him. Most people, just like this man's parents, back off when confronted by accusations by powerful people. Jesus, however, stands on the truth of his actions and his words. He acts as God leads him, and he stands firm. So let's find out how the story ends. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And then they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Here is a blind man fully aware of the greatness and glory of God as he is healed, unlike those still in darkness of unbelief who see only sin and darkness and evil. At first, the blind man described Jesus as a man. Then it dawned on him that he was a prophet whose miraculous deeds were obvious to all. But then, in glorious recognition, he sees him as he is, the Son of Man, the Messiah, and he worships him. Would that we all had such vision, such insight. That's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for listening this week. It's goodbye from my technician, Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye, everyone.
And from me, Sheila Hamill. We end with the song "Be Thou My Vision" from the CD Golden Days and Friendly Faces. Bye for now.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping. Thy presence, my love.